So, of all the household fix-it jobs, the one at the bottom of my list is I just don't know plumbing. And I'm sorry, I may have lost some man points with some of you guys on that one, but it is so low on the bottom of my fix-it thing. It's just like I avoid it. It's, you know, all the tight spaces, whatever. So in June, we had a big weekend work party up at my dad's cabin in Lake Country. And we were getting it, fixing it up. He decided to put it into kind of the Airbnb kind of stream. And so it was a big work weekend, and plumbing was not on the list until we got there. And we had a leaky toilet. And this says a lot about my family. I got chosen to fix the toilet. Not a good moment for the boar thistles. So next day, I went to the store, took a picture of the inside of the tank. This is a 25-year-old cabin. So I get there, and the guy at the store happens to be a plumber, and he's working there. And he goes, oh, that's old stuff. You're going to have to take it all out and get this kit. And it has a video link in it, great instructions. It's, you can do it, hour and a half, no problems. 3 hours later, I'm back at the store, and I find him again, and I said, it's leaking, the kit you sold me has missing parts, and I needed some other parts to handle and all of that. And he was like, really, what? You know, so he was so good, he was so encouraging all the time, right? He says, you can do this. He was just, right from the first moment. So he gets another kit off the shelf, opens it up, and the parts that I'm missing are stored in the tube that the water flushes down. And I'm like, I flushed it down the toilet. And I'm like, I am the worst plumber ever. And I told him what I did to kind of fix it up. And he goes, this is exactly how you learn. Like, he was just like, way to go. You can do this. He taught me some other things, and I bought the other parts, and I went back, and I did it. So I moved from I don't know plumbing to I barely know plumbing. But that feeling of knowing, right, of learning along the way was quite a moment for me. So please don't ask me for any more plumbing things, because I just that's about the extent of what I can do. We're in this series about living by faith, and we're looking at Old Testament characters, and I want to go back to Moses. And there's this really interesting part that Moses needed to know something. It wasn't plumbing. He needed to know that God was going to go before him and before them as they went into the promised land. And the word know in Hebrew is the word yada. And that's actually a common euphemism, and we use it a lot, right? Like if you're a sports fan back in when the Canucks did their run, and now I'm talking about it, right? I don't have to explain the whole thing. I can just go, do you remember back in 2011, yada, 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 and then I can explain something? Because I know the audience knows. They yada, they know. And so we use that all the time in that context. So here's the beginning of this dialogue. It's in Exodus 33, if you want to follow along, starting in verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, okay, other little tip, and you may know this already, but anytime you see the word Lord capitalized in the English translation, it means Jehovah. It's Yahweh, right? And as Ajay was explaining that, that's what that specific definition means. So Moses said to Yahweh, to Jehovah, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know, yada, whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. I yada you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. So what's going on? They have, the people of Israel have left Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea. They're within the first 2 years of the journey to the promised land. And they're actually ready to go into the promised land. Moses has been going up to the mountain to meet God. The Ten Commandments has happened. And just before this passage in Exodus 32, it explains that bizarre moment where Moses is away, the people get anxious, they want to start serving another god, and they have this big wild party, and Aaron tells them to throw their gold into the fire, and this golden calf is created, and they start worshiping that, and Moses comes down and destroys the tablets, right, on that, and just is like, what are you guys doing? And it's such a big moment. This is a very big moment that God says this in the first part of 33. As he's talking to Moses about the sin that has happened and the significance of this great sin. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt." Listen to God's language. "You and the people you brought up. And go up to the land I promised an oath to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." Then he says this, "I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites," and so forth. Yada, yada, yada. "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way." And then he tells Moses to tell the people that. And so now Moses is like stuck. And he is going to God. And the people realize what they've done. And as Darian talked about last week, the tabernacle was sent in a tent kind of just outside the encampment and wherever they were. And when Moses went in there, the cloud would come, and all the people would come to their tents, and they would stand there, and they would wait to hear what God would say through Moses to them. And so God says this to him, what I just read. "You've been telling me to lead these people, but you've not let me know who you will send," right? And then he says, "Teach me your ways." And I just find that so fascinating. So that explanation that Ajay gave earlier in the service about Jehovah and Jehovah Nisi and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh comes into play in this moment, right? Because Moses knows God, right? Jehovah Jireh, as Ajay said, is the Lord is our provider. And it was that story of when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, and God intervened and provided the ram, right? Jehovah Jireh. Moses would know that. The whole people would know God as Jehovah Jireh. Moses directly would know Jehovah Rapha, right? After they went through the Red Sea and they were thirsty, and the hits the rock and the waters come out of the rock and their thirst is quenched. And he says, "All those diseases, if you follow me, that I gave to the Egyptians, I will not put on you. I am your healer," right? And then Moses would be very familiar with Jehovah Nisi, right? So that whole story of when they were in battle and when Moses would raise his hands, they would win. And if he'd raise, sound like a tired, the battle would go against Israel. And then did that, and he says, "The Lord is my banner; He's our covering." So Moses knows God, right? But yet here he comes in this very critical moment, and he says, "If you know me by name, I need to know you. I need to know you. Teach me something here, Lord." Such an intimate conversation he's having. I'm always moved just by reading it. And I think what Moses is really getting at and what he's modeled for us just in this passage is our purpose is not just to know about God and that to know that he is our provider and know that he is our banner and all of that, but to truly know God and to be known by God. So I stop here and have you ask a question to yourself. Where do you feel right now in your knowing God and being known by God? Is there a distance? Is there a struggle? Is there a grief? Is there a doubt? Whatever it is, it's okay, because God is able to walk us through all of these moments. And I think part of the role that we play as a community in this church is just to help each other walk through all of these moments and know that, Lord, teach us your ways. Teach us more about you. I want to know you more. I want to see you more. So the dialogue with Moses and Jehovah continues in the next verses here. So the Lord replies, my presence will go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. But Moses he keeps pressing. He's pressing here. Then Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses, he just kept pressing, show me your glory. I need to know. He needs to know on such a deep, deep level. I mean, this conversation has moved from, okay, I am still going to give you the promise of the promised land because that's what I said. I'm going to send an angel, and the angel will defeat all the enemies, and my promise is done, but I will not go with you. To now, I will go with you. And Moses is like, he needs to know. He so needs to know all of this. And I love that line. What's the difference in all of this journey? The only thing that matters at this point is that God's presence sets us apart. It's not our skill, it's not our ability, it's not our church, it's not our whatever it is. The only thing that sets us apart is God's presence with us. Amen? So being known by God, that familiar friend, becomes the intensity of this conversation. And it's all for the purpose of God's glory being shown. The dialogue continues, and he says, and the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So the rest of the story, I don't have it up on the screen, but he puts him in the cleft of the rock and passes by him, and Moses gets to see the glory of God from his back, because no one can see God face to face and live, as he just said in all of that. So how do we do that? How do we, you and I, journey along in our Christian lives and in our lives of faith, from knowing God to be known by God to desiring his glory? I think it's a process. I think there's significant moments in our life. I look back, and that's what we've celebrated, right? Like I think of during the series, we've had a lot of testimonies that have been going on. I think of, if you remember the videotape with Brent, right? The Lord touched him and took away shame and guilt and a desire for alcohol. Like, that's a pretty dramatic moment to know God and have that experience. Edna talked about her journey of healing, and both emotionally and mentally and then physically as well, right? Those are all God's moments. Alex talked about just knowing he was pursuing God without even knowing who God was. We've had missionaries up here and others share their story, and God is always showing up. And to me, it's an encouragement, and it's why we do those kind of things. I think of my journey, and I was this passage was making me reflect on that. And I remember as a young man wanting to know what, I became a Christian when I was a young boy, but then, you know, you get to be an adult, and you sort of got to think, is this my parents' faith? Is this my faith? And I wanted to know my salvation. I wanted to know, and I was studying, and it's like, yes, I want all of the Holy Spirit. I want to understand you, God, and reading your Bible and praying, and that beautiful journey of, knowing how we're saved and knowing who we are in Christ. It's a great part of it. But then as I journeyed along, right, this whole thing about you are uniquely made, Garth, I'm like, okay, what's that? Do I really believe I'm uniquely made? I mean, I may know it up here, but I want to know it here. And I think of passages in Romans that talks about gifts that God has given each one of us and our motivations and all of that. And I realized that he's given me a heart to lead and to serve. Those are the two things that jumped out at me. And so it's like, okay, Lord, what do I do with that? Wherever I am, in business, in life, in community groups, on sports teams, I'm going to follow this because you have done that. But then I kept reading, and then I realized that Paul, in Ephesians 4, he says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And I'm like, what's that? Do I have a calling? And he talks about it in certain language and all of that. And I realize the Lord has given me this sort of, I'll put it in non-biblical terms, right? I've always been attracted to the entrepreneurial thing, but also to teams as well. And so I coined the phrase interpreneurial. And I like working in groups, in churches, in business, whatever, where we're doing entrepreneurial things, but doing it as a larger group. Entrepreneurial. You have to give me royalties on that word. And so the Lord has shown me more about that, and I keep pressing into all of that. And then there's this moment that Moses has, right, about the glory of God. Do I want to know God's glory? That's all I pray. And I know he's there. I know the Holy Spirit's there and all those promises and the theology behind that. But sometimes when I'm just in the moment, day-to-day life, I need to know, Lord, I just need you to show up. And then I need to watch how he shows up so that he gets the glory. This is our journey in what we, knowing God at a deeper level. John, the apostle, actually talks about this. In 1 John, he ends in chapter 5 about why he wrote this epistle to the people. And he uses the word know, okay? What do we know? And I haven't put the actual verse, but I've listed all the points that he makes in all of this. We know that we have eternal life. Amen? So as you journey, know that you have eternal life. We know he hears us. And John says, have confidence so that you can have confidence that he hears you and me. Then he says, we know we have what we ask. The Lord wants to answer our prayers. What a beautiful line. We know not to continue in sin. We know we are children of God. We know Jesus has come to give us understanding, right? This depth of knowing him. We know him who is true. And lastly, we know he is true, the true God and eternal life. So wherever you are in your current journey with the Lord, this is a good list of knows. Like, this is set. We know that. We know that. Let's go back to the Exodus chapter and kind of wrap up this thought here around all of that. Remember in that first verse I read, it says he wants to know God and know that he's with him, but he also says those words about teach me your ways. okay? This whole section of the story, right? The sin, the golden calf, the debauchery that was happening, clear, like there was no doubt. It was just such a far opposite direction of God. Moses says to the people, and he uses these words, "Let me go to God to see if I can help atone for your sins," right? To cover your sins. And so this whole dialogue is about, really, yes, we need to know God. We need to be known by God. But it's about understanding, and this is where Moses, right? It's a new level of understanding that God does forgive sins. Later on in the next chapter, as he continues on this dialogue, he says this. So the Lord, Jehovah, says, listen. No, actually, I'm going to read the verse before that, and then I'll read that one. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sins and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, listen, I am making a covenant with you. In the presence of all your people, I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in the whole earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. See how this conversation has moved from I am not going with you and I'm angry to like I am going to display my glory and power among you. If that isn't atonement and covering for your sins, I don't know what it is, what else it would be, right? And so whenever we read the Old Testament, right, we look at what is this story about? How does it fit into the bigger picture? And then we're saying, what does this teach us about the new covenant, about Jesus, about the gospel message? And we see these very things. These are almost probably words that Jesus would have prayed to God about covering our sins and covering us forever so that God can be glorified through his sacrifice and through his atonement of our sins. So Jesus satisfies God. He puts us in relations with God. He puts us in a place where we actually have a calling from God, and we have a place where we can be witnesses to his glory. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good news? And so the journey that Moses went through with the people is the same journey and the same outcome that you and I have. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up, and I guess what I want to encourage us to do is to take some time to say, okay, Lord, where am I at in this journey? Maybe you're still working out your salvation or wondering about your salvation or wanting to know more about the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you've had a big moment where you're like, God, I don't know where you are, but I need you to show up. Maybe it's a time where you're like, you know, you've been telling me to move forward in a certain way, and I've been resisting, but I want to see your glory come through all of this. Wherever you're at is where you're at, and it's totally fine. And so we want to use this worship time for you just to sort of talk to God. He knows you by name. He calls you by name. He wants to be known by you and by me. That's his greatest joy in everything that he does. And so we have prayer team, as usual, that will come down. And if you want to process or pray through things with them, I encourage you to do that. And I guess the last part is one thing that holds us back often in our journey with God is shame. And so I know I've struggled with things like that. And when you come to understand that, you know what? When the Lord looks at us, he doesn't see shame. That's a thing we put on, or the enemy puts on us. He knows your name. He knows your name. He doesn't look at shame. And so have confidence, as John told us, that we can come to him because he knows you. He knows you intimately, and he wants to touch your heart in a way that is so personal and so that you know that it's God. This is exactly what he does. So let's do that.